Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hey.
It's just you and me this week. This month, sorry. I keep saying this month.
Yeah.
I mean this week.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, this month. Usually, we do try to have a guest, but, you know, things get in the way, which is crazy because we only do this once a month, so you would think it'd be a little bit easier to, like, schedule things out and get everybody on the same page and all that.
Life happens.
So it's just Denise and myself this month.
Yes.
So we apologize for that. But before you turn it off, how about you hear us out? It's a good theme. So we'll tell you what the theme is. Denise will give you the first song, and then, you know, you decide if you want to stick around for the rest.
So we're just doing horn songs.
Well, like brass, any brass instrument.
Oh, any brass instrument?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Well, I don't remember, like, because we were going back and forth, like, trying to, like, we had two topics technically, like, it was going to be us, and then we were debating this topic, and then we're like, oh shit, like, so-and-so might come over, you know what I mean? But he has his topic, so we're kind of, like, doing research for both, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I guess I interpreted it.
Oh god.
As horn songs, because I'll talk about it later, but okay, so we'll just jump into my song.
Wait, do you want to go first or should I go first?
No, I'll go first. Okay. I don't care. So just a song, I mean, when I think horns, when I think brass, big bands, I think Cake, I think Brute, I think Real Big Fish. My favorite, like, that always gets me up and moving for the most part, and that I feel like that I've known the longest since, like, my formative years, I guess, is Cake. They've kind of always been on my bucket list to see, and I'm finally going to go see them this summer, so I'm excited to see that. And it's a night with Cake. It's one of those, like, a night with Cake, so I'm really excited about that. And it's at the Greek, which it's a love-hate situation because of the parking. But I do love the Greek, and it's hella better than the freaking Hollywood Bowl. So I'm just excited about that. I'm going to play Cake's Love You Madly, right? Yeah. Love You Madly by Cake reminds me of Love Her Madly by The Doors. Mm-hmm. I think it has a similar intro. Like, if you're breaking down the elements, and it's hard for me to do right now because I can't play side by side. Like, I can't play them side by side. Like,
well, I wish you would have told me this because then I would have gotten the clips. Because I did that for one of my songs.
Well, you didn't tell me. Then that's a lot of songs that we're playing.
No. We're only you'll see when we get to my song, but yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's kind of
in the future,
the
for
intro.
Future reference, just let me know you need a clip.
Okay, fine. Gosh.
Anyways, go on.
I was trying
not
to be trouble and, like, make more work for you.
Oh, gosh. If it'll make the episode better, I don't mind doing it.
Anyways.
But okay, so the intros.
So they just are similar to me. And I love her madly, and I love you madly. It's just like I can listen to Cake, and for the most part, like, I'm in a happy spot. There are a few songs where I'm like, oh, those make me like sad or just make you think or whatever. But for the most part, Cake takes me to a happy place. And I didn't own any Cake albums growing up. We talked about this before. Like, I bought CDs, but I could not buy a lot of CDs. And most of my money went to Pearl Jam. I just remember hearing Going the Distance on the radio as first experience with them.
That was a banger.
And that song being on K-Rock's New Music CD that came with their New Music calendar.
Oh, yeah, the 90s. Like the calendar. Yeah.
I didn't really get into Cake. Like, I loved everything that came on the radio from Cake. And then I didn't really get into Cake until I could start downloading shit. So
that was pretty much the same with me. By the time I started buying CDs, I think it was like after this CD, this is the album that has Long Skirt, Short Jacket.
I think so.
Yeah. And by that point, I was like, I don't really like that song that much. To me, it wasn't like my favorite of theirs. And then I just never went back and bought like the other ones. But I do. No, yeah, that was it. Going back to the song itself, you mentioned the intro, and I had never really noticed it, but for the first time, like, I was like, hey, this sounds kind of like Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I never like thought of that before. But yeah. Anyways.
For not owning any of their CDs, like, I really do. Like, I love Cake. I love his voice. I love the horns. I love horns. I've always considered them like a novelty band, kind of like the Offspring in their later days. You know what I mean? They influence me a lot in my lyrics for my own stuff.
That's interesting, because I wouldn't consider them a novelty band.
I think their songs are funny. Like, some of them, I can't take them seriously.
You could write funny lyrics without being a novelty band.
Yeah, not a novelty band, but they have novelty songs. I mean, like, The Offspring isn't a novelty band, but you hear songs like what's the donut one? My girlfriend, my dumb donut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you hear songs like that, and it's like, bro, that's like a novelty song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, fine. But they also... Okay, yeah. Okay, sure.
That's for my song.
All right. So, yeah. And with that, we move on to my song. My first song of the day, the evening, the month. So, I went with a Mexican band because...
Yay, Mexico. Because you're Mexican?
Because I am Mexican.
It reminds you of your childhood in Mexico?
But, you know, I think it's funny because when we first started the podcast way back in the day, I would rarely bring, like, Mexican bands. And, like, even, like, on, like, the very first episode we did, which was, like, Childhood Memories, like, I didn't bring any songs that episode because I was like, oh, dude, I couldn't think of any songs. And then...
You're weird.
Yeah, I know. And then now it's, like, all of a sudden, like, I'm bringing... Like, anyways, whatever. All right. So the song I brought is Un Gran Circo by Maldita Vecindad. That's, like, the short name, but their long, like... I don't know if it's their official name or if it's just, like, some extra name they use. It's, like, Maldita Vecindad y los Hijos del Quinto Patio. Which I'm like, maybe the record label was like, hey, that's too long, bro. You got to shorten it. just a couple of fun facts about this song. It's produced by Gustavo Santaolalla, which I didn't know this. I just barely like Googled it in preparation for this episode. But he's mainly like a film producer, like a score producer for films, including all of Alejandro González Iñárritu's. I don't know how to say his last name. First four films. Do you know which ones those are?
No.
You may not recognize his name, but you probably know his movies. So it's like Amores Perros, 21 Grams, Babel, and Beautiful. You don't know
any? I don't think I've seen...
You don't know 21 Grams?
No.
You've ever seen 21 Grams?
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh, man, that's a good movie, dude. I mean, Amores Perros is good too, but it's like a little too... Like, it's hard. But 21 Grams, I mean, that's a good one. Babel, not so much. That one's like, okay.
I never saw that.
Anyways, but back to Gustavo, he also did the score for The Last of Us, the video games, eventually, obviously, the series as well. He's not Mexican. I think he's like from Argentina or like Chile or something. Anyway, South America. I don't want to say from where because I don't remember and I don't want to like
offend any
Latin Americans out there. So yeah, so that's some cool factoids about it. This is off their 1991 album, El Circo, or The Circus. And this is their second album, but it was like their first really big release that like kind of got them famous and stuff. For those that do not speak Spanish, the name of the album is The Circus, and the name of the song is a great circus. Like, great in the sense of like a big circus. Anyways, let's check it out. That's my song. This is like one of the first albums that it was like, it wasn't my mom's music. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of like, oh, this is my music. You know what I mean?
But then how did you find it? Was it
well, I found
on
it through my sister. No, I found it through my sister. Because okay. She was older than me and, you know, she was getting all into like the cool music, I guess, or whatever. And yeah, so this along with like El Tri and Café Tacuba and things like that, those were like bands that like she introduced me to. Not necessarily saying like, oh, here, listen to this, but just like she would listen to it and then I'd hear it. You know what I mean?
Was this like the Mexican Real Big Fish? Like the ska? No. The Mexican ska band? So
they do have like ska influences for sure. And yeah, like Denise always says this whenever I play her any kind of like Spanish music. She's like, this is just like Spanish blubbery bloop. You know what I mean?
I'm convinced just like America does it and then like Mexico does it. Like they have the Mexican Depeche Mode and the Mexican Cure and the Mexican
Offspring.
Well, not
just Mexican. There are other Latin American bands.
I know. But I'm just saying.
Don't be racist.
It's like, I'm just going to steal all these riffs or whatever and just put some
Well, what riffs
Spanish
did you steal here?
Lyrics.
I feel like this is a pretty original. Obviously, it has ska undertones and stuff, but it's not like lifting a song completely. Because we did hear some other songs the other day when we were at Border X that it was like, dude, this sounds exactly like that one Cure song or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Which, fine, I give you that. But I feel like this one, like there's no and song that you're like, oh, this is that other song. This is just in Spanish.
When you were choosing your song for No Application Fees episode and you were giving me your...
candidates.
Your candidates or whatever. Like, years ago, you played me the song that you played on that episode. And I couldn't remember, like, what it was. But I told you that I was like, dude, this is like a Spanish Offspring. You know what I mean? Yes. And then like, and I was like, and I never heard it again. You never played it for me again, or I didn't recognize it. And then you played it. And then I was like, dude, I was like, this is the Mexican Offspring that I was telling you about. Like there were, it's like straight
some
up.
Some songs. No, I think there was like
if
one
I were
song
to go through and like, I would be able to name it. And I was like, dude, this was the song that was the total ripoff of the Offspring.
Yeah.
Song.
And I know what song you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the song. Anyways, whatever. So some songs, but the Offspring is like more like pop punk, like that's the Offspring. I feel like Molotov is not like that because they have like rapping in it and stuff. So it's not okay. You know, the same thing. But
well,
I'm
just saying like that one song. That
yeah.
Said.
Okay. That one song. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Yeah. So this was kind of like the first music that I kind of started to listen to and just kind of take as my own and be like, okay, this isn't music that I got from my mom. This is like music for like the youth. You know what I mean? This is like the cool kids music. The song itself and the album as a whole, it's I guess you could interpret it a little bit as a concept album where it's comparing life in Mexico City, like specifically like the city itself, like the city center as like a circus. And this song specifically is kind of about all like the different street performers that you would see back in the day. I don't know if they're still around. I don't know if like the city kind of cracked down on that or what. But the little bit that I do remember from when we would go like to downtown Mexico, like, yeah, you would see just like fire breathers and freaking jugglers and like clowns. And like, you're just out here in the circus. Like, there's no curtain. There's no nothing. You could just see it all. And it's just, yeah, there you see kids selling you things, like faking a smile, even though they're probably starving. It was pretty cool back in my day. You know what I mean? I mean, not that that's cool, but
not cool, but like political or whatever.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like, not that I'm like a political person or whatever, but for a while there, I was kind of like, oh yeah, man, like fuck this thing. Like, this fucking sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be like a fucking rebel, or like, I don't know, like some kind of form of activist or something. Cause then like El Tri also had some political songs and stuff. Later on, they got a little weird. It was just cool to hear music that had something important to say, that wasn't just, you know, like ballads, like my mom's music or things that. That it was like, oh, they're actually like talking about real things, you know? Yeah. So
about like how old were you?
Well, I left Mexico when I was 11, so I had to have been like 9 or 10, maybe.
When you discovered this band?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like, yeah, it was like a year or two before we left. So yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right. Denise, what is your next song?
So I struggled because I always want to bring like a smaller band, but I've actually had, you know, like I love trumpet, like I love horns or whatever. I love brass, I guess.
Oh yeah, by the way, that's the reason why I said like it's brass instruments, because that song had a saxophone. It didn't have horns. Oh, that was something I wanted to say out that I forgot to put in my notes. But this band, and it goes back to your thing about like they just copy like American bands or whatever. Yes. But okay, the saxophone player in this band, like I feel like he was trying to mimic like Slash, because you know how Slash had his top hat and you just have like his hair in his face.
Yeah.
So this guy had like, he also wore a hat all the time, but it wasn't like a top hat. It has a little round top, and then it has like the rim, and the rim is kind of long, but it's flat all the way around. Anyways, it's like that. And then he would have like long hair, like all in his face. And that was like his look all the time. And it was like, okay. So anyway, so yeah, that to say that I feel like he was trying to like get like an image, you know, that would be like instantly recognizable, the way that like Slash was instantly recognizable with his top hat and thing. Anyway, sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt. Gosh. Go ahead.
Anyways.
Oh, he recently died too. I thought he had died like, oh, I didn't think he had died, but I thought he had left the band like a long time ago. But no, he died like in 2022 from like COVID. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Rip.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Alrighty. So I was trying to bring a smaller band. I feel like I've had quite a few bands on the 110 podcast that featured some type of brass, whether it was No Application Fee, Full Metal Cardigan, Keo and Them. But I eventually landed on this song just because it cut me deep in my panza, and I found it through former barista Robert. So I'm playing I'm Changing by Unholy Smokes, and we're gonna play it like halfway through because that's where the trumpet is. yeah, I just really like that song. That's from a small artist with not a lot of listens. Like, you can find it on the 110 podcast. I don't know, I just really dug this song. I mean, you can listen to the 110 podcast. I talk about it. Like, that song takes me on a journey. I love the guitar in it. I love the belting towards the end. And I'm always gonna love a song even more with a trumpet or some type of horns in there. Like, I almost went with Full Metal Cardigan, and that one had saxophone. Like, I don't know, it was just like really cool vibes and stuff. With the smaller artists, I always admire like the collaboration with that, of being able to just add all these elements to a song. You know what I mean? Like, No Application Fee is like guitar, bass, horns, vocals, you know, and drums. This is obviously guitar, vocals. There's drums in there, right? And
yeah. I mean, it's pretty much all the same instruments you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But to be able to bring that all together and make it sound good. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I know which of my songs need to have trumpet, if I ever did put like a whole like band, and like what songs need drums and trumpet, you know what I mean? And a little bit of bass. Like, I can't do that. I couldn't write the music for that, you know what I mean? Or collaborate with anyone. I mean, I guess I could, but it would just take time and patience.
Yeah, well, I think, again, I'm not like a musician, so I wouldn't know. But I feel like, yeah, if you have capable musicians, then you could just do it. Shout out to Brett and Adam from the old Hot Butter days, where there was that whole joke where none of them, well, Brett wasn't in the band, but Adam was in the band with Eric and a few other guys, and none of them knew music. So then they would just say like, do it like, do, 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 do. And then you just like play it. So like, I'm sure you could. Yeah. So I'm sure you could, if you know, you were able to collaborate with good musicians, not like, you know, me, then yeah, you could just tell them like, this is the sound I hear for this part. And they'd be able to play it, and you'd be like, oh, can you go like an octave higher, octave lower, do this, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's my song.
Yeah, no, I dug it. Right before we started the song, there's another solo. There's two back-to-back solos.
Yeah.
And both are really good, but obviously, you know, then we would have had like a 3-minute audio clip or something. I enjoy both guitar solos. I like the second one a little bit more just because of the tone, but both are great. I love the trumpet in there. It's just a cool song. You said it cut you deep in your panza, but like, what part in particular? I couldn't really make out the lyrics.
The feeling when he starts belting paired with the trumpet, because that's when it kicks in or whatever, like the trumpet. I don't know. I really dug it. And it reminded me of like the whole cutting me deep in my panza and like pairing certain instruments together. I did Widely Grown, and there was a fiddle in that one. And I don't know if you remember that song. It's towards like the end of the song. Maybe we'll do fiddle songs or violin songs and I'll do that song. But yeah, like just that pairing with the vocals and the different instruments, like, it's just something about like violin and trumpet that cut me deep in my panza that I really like. It just brings a deeper sense of sadness, I think. Just like realization. Not so much like sadness, but I mean, it could go either way, depending on what song I'm talking about.
But. No, yeah, I get that. I thought you were referring to the lyrics or something in the lyrics. But yeah, no, I get that too. No. Just if it's just like the music with, well, our niece and nephew, like they'll talk about movies that they watch. They'll be like, oh yeah, did you guys watch this movie? And I'll be like, yeah, we watched it. And they're like, oh, yo, did you guys cry at the end? And I'll be like, no, like what the heck? Well, Denise does cry, but they're asking me.
Like what? What movie?
I don't remember, but it's like some movies, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, like we were trying not to cry at the end, but it was pretty sad. And I was like, what? Like, it seems like they cry for like every single freaking movie. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
God.
but I'm like, yeah, no, like, because yeah, like for the most part, like movies don't really affect me in that way. I'm just like, oh, they're just acting. Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I can suspend disbelief. It's not like I'm like, oh, this is not real. You know what I mean? But I don't know, just movies don't really hit me that hard. They don't cut me in my panza that way. But music, like, yeah, like, and a lot of times, like you're saying, like, it doesn't necessarily even have to be the lyrics. It could be like a song that isn't necessarily even like a sad song, or that the lyrics aren't saying anything in particular, but it'll just be certain notes or certain, I don't know, like something, and like it just like gets you, or you're just like, oh man, like, yeah, like I feel this song, like I just feel it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a few songs that do that. But anyways, yeah.
And like, I would really like to see this band live. Like, and I don't know if he does a lot of shows because he is like, you know, a smaller, like he's, you know, just regular dude, you know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know
music
about
on this the
guy.
Side and stuff. Oh, okay. You know, so, and he had a show, but I forgot what we were doing, and I was like, fuck. But yeah, so I really hope to see this dude and his band. And I've only cried a couple times at shows, but I think it's Glenn, and I don't know if there was, well, for sure I know it was Glenn. It's Glenn and Pearl Jam. And I don't know if it was like the trumpets were out when Glenn was doing his stuff, because I know we have seen Glenn with like trumpets and horns and stuff and the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, yeah. I feel like those have been like some good shows. Mm-hmm. Some mm-hmm. of my favorites, Glenn for sure.
Yeah,
he's also been on my shit list, but the best and worst shows have been with Glenn Hansard. But anyways,
well, that's why I like going to see like Monophonics and Oregon and stuff, but you were like, nah, I don't like Monophonics.
Again, that's also very loud, and it's the troubadour. I remember digging those bands. Mm-hmm. But I just remember it being extremely loud.
Even
like,
with earplugs?
Yes. And even when we went to see No Application Fee, and granted, like, it was shitty sound or whatever, mm-hmm. Like, the trumpet was, like, Kyle or whatever, as talented as he is, I was like, dude, this is very fucking loud. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes I fear bands that have a lot of horn.
Hey, well, yeah. That's what she said. And with that, we move on to the final song of the month. I also went with a very small band. Not a lot of people know these guys.
Oh, God.
Anyways. I went with 25 or 6 to 4 by Chicago. You guys heard of Chicago? For the longest time, I didn't know this was Chicago. And like, I was like, and I could have sworn like I didn't like any Chicago songs. I always thought like, oh, Chicago is like one of those lame freaking dad rock bands. And I'm sure they do, because I've heard some of their other songs and I'm like, oh, yeah. But yeah. They also have some bangers, and this is one of them. Anyways, this is off their second album called Chicago, but afterward it became known as Chicago Number 2, because they're one of those bands that aren't very creative and they just number all their albums.
Yeah.
So they're up to, as of this recording, Chicago 38.
What the fuck?
And apparently that's not because they have 38 studio albums. They just have 38 albums, period. So they just count them as like, it could be a live album, even it could be a compilation. It still gets numbered the same way.
But, wow.
But even that being the case, they still have like over 20 like studio albums, I think.
Wow.
So they're pretty prolific. Anyways, this one came out in 1970. And like their debut album, Chicago Transit Authority, this is a double album.
Which, oh my God.
Which I thought was crazy. I didn't know their debut was a double album. Like, you gotta have some balls to
That's
be like
ballsy, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like deja vu.
Is it? I don't know.
Like, someone else had like a double album, and we were like, oh,
double debut album?
Yes. And we were like, dude, they got balls.
I feel like we could Google that. I mean, we're not gonna do it right now, but I feel like there's not a lot of people that did that. So I feel like you could probably find it quickly. It was their first album under the name Chicago, because originally they went by Chicago Transit Authority. But they changed it because they were threatened with a lawsuit by the actual mass transit operator. Oh, this is also the first album to use the now ubiquitous cursive Chicago logo.
Oh, yeah.
That you see all over everywhere. Also, regarding the song, keyboardist and vocalist Robert Lamb said that he wrote it about trying to write a song in the middle of the night. The song's title is the time at which the song is set, 25 or 26 minutes before 4 a.m. Get it?
That's so complicated.
I know, but I love it. Anyways.
Wait, is Chicago from Chicago?
Yeah.
And like, that's like, oh, we're from Chicago. We're going to name our band Chicago. I don't have an album name, so I'm just going to fucking number it. Like,
that's true. These guys are not very creative.
Song title, what time is it?
Damn, that's true.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Talk about, it's like, how are you so fucking creative but not creative? It's like, well, I used up all my creative juices on like the music, so anything else is just
it's true. It's
chop
true.
Suey.
Because of the unique phrasing of the song's title, 25 or 6 to 4, a lot of people have interpreted it to mean everything from a quantity of illicit drugs to the name of a famous person in code. So yeah, I just thought that was cool too.
What?
they re-recorded this song in the 80s for like Chicago 54 or something like that. And that song is like super shitty. Like have like all this like electronic elements in it, and it just sounds like really crappy. Denise, I want you to think about, I don't know if you cheated and looked at my notes. If you did, that's fine. When you listen to the song, I want you to think of other songs that it reminds you of, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. This is 25 or 6 to 4 by Chicago. Damn, dude, like I just
That's
love
a jam.
Yeah, like I love the freaking horns. I don't know, the horns are just so good in this song, and it's a catchy song, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
I don't know, it's a banger, dude. It's a banger. Anyways, did it remind you of anything?
Cream Crema.
Which one?
I don't know, I couldn't name the song.
Oh okay.
But or like, I guess, who sings Aqualung?
Ah damn it. Oh fuck. Jethro Tull.
Yeah, Jethro Tull.
That's a hard name. Yeah.
Like his voice kind of reminded me of that, I guess, which was kind of with the cream. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. No, for me, right off the bat, I was like, dude, this sounds just like that other song. And it's this one. Yeah, so the riff reminded me of that. I was like, oh yeah, dude, that sounds just like that. And then, yeah. And then so when I was doing the research, apparently people were saying like, oh, it also kind of sounds like it ripped off two other songs which came prior to 25 or 6 to 4.
Jimi Hendrix, was that one of them? I got some Jimi vibes.
No. You were close. It's like another famous guitarist, I guess. So the first one is Led Zeppelin's version of Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Oh, yeah. That's okay because Led Zeppelin ripped off everybody else. So
I know. That's
I'm
what
fine with that.
Those are my thoughts exactly. Yes.
I feel like the hate for Led Zeppelin is coming back every time we do this podcast. Oh, it's like, I was cool. I could listen to it. Like, I don't seek out Led Zeppelin anymore, but...
I mean, I still do. Like, even with all the drama of like them stealing. Yeah. Oh, that too. Yeah. Even after all the John Paul Jones drama, all the, you know, they stole songs from different people and stuff. Like, they got bangers, dude.
I understand that, but I feel like we just blow them way too much further.
I'm not blowing
for
anybody.
For everything that they did or whatever.
Denise has a weird way of showing her appreciation for music. All right, and then the other one, which I was like, I don't hear it at all. In the Wikipedia page, it said that people said it also sounds like While My Guitar Gently Weeps, which I was like, what part? Like, I don't hear it at all. So I had to go and look for it. And yeah, like, you know, the Beatles were famous for doing that whole thing with their songs, like where they really went all out on the stereo mix and all that. And so I had to go mute the left channel, only play the right channel, because that's Jesus. Where you hear like the rhythm guitar. You can faintly hear like a little bit of the rhythm guitar, and yeah, it sounds like this. That little bump, bump, bump.
But you isolated
bump,
that.
Bump, bump. Well, I didn't do it on my own. I just took off the left channel, and then this is what comes through the right channel. Yeah. Also, in the Wikipedia page, it mentioned it's more the chord progression as opposed to like the way it's being played.
And I don't know anything about copyright. I learned in my guitar class that you can't copyright chord progressions. Mm-hmm. I feel that's what he said. I think if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not a musician, so I wouldn't be able to recognize what the chord progression is. Anyways, yeah. So that was my song.
That's a jam. I want to say my sixth grade teacher, Mr. V, played this and like sticks. Like, oh my God. He loved playing like sticks or whatever, like for us.
When would he play music for you guys?
Like all the time. Like he was one of those teachers that like every time like he put you to work or whatever. And this is what I'm saying, like Catholic schools or whatever. Like he's just like, I'm just going to play music. Like he would always, and he played the guitar at church or whatever. You know what I mean?
He was like the cool pastor guy.
Yeah. No,
but he wasn't a pastor, right?
He would just do the music like in between like, the songs. Like
in between parts in the mass.
Yeah, he would play all the religious songs like you will raise, he will raise you up eagle's wings, which is like my dad's fucking favorite song.
That's once a banger,
played
dude.
At his funeral or whatever. He was the one, like he always had the best talent shows. He was involved with like the play and stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Again, he would always have like the mixes and stuff. I don't know if he DJ'd too. I vaguely remember someone mentioning that, but I don't know.
None of your classmates ever complained about the music? Because I wouldn't, depending on what the subject is, I wouldn't be able to have music in the background while I'm trying to do my work.
No. I don't think so. I don't think we were at that stage in our life or whatever, like where we could be like, oh, turn that shitty music off. You know?
No.
I mean, it wasn't like bad or anything, but I just remember
that. I didn't mean that. I just meant like none of you said like, hey, like it's hard for me to concentrate with music.
No, and I think, like I said... Dude, had I not been in private school, like at Catholic school, I probably would have gotten like diagnosed with like some like, RSP. Like I would have had special ed classes or whatever. You know what I mean?
We know, Denise. We know.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that was all the songs for this month. I think we got through it pretty quickly, which is good. Yep. And Denise, do you have anything you want to plug or make people aware of? Any shows coming up? You know, for any of the bands that you feature on the 110 podcast or anything like that?
May is like packed, dude. This is coming out Monday, May 1st. There are a shit ton of shows in May for local bands that you can see, bands that I've featured on the podcast, or just people that I've met at open mics. So like tomorrow, if you want to go check out a small show in Hollywood, there's that. No application fee is playing twice. Cinco de Mayo and also May 20th. The Black Heartthrobs are playing a free show on Cinco de Mayo. Deep Waters are also playing in Monrovia on Cinco de Mayo. So many shows. Cooley Uli and Deep Waters and there was another one, Cold Culture, I think, are playing in, I think it's Glendale on the 12th. So many freaking shows, dude. Oh, Eastside Agents playing May 6th at Border X Brewery. You can find all of these in my stories. If you need to, just hit me up for a, you know, inexpensive to free show. What is it? Free to inexpensive show or whatever of a small local band where there'll be like good beer, you know, like at one of the breweries. Some of them are playing.
I mean, they don't have to drink, you know. Some people are sober.
I'm just saying.
Not everybody's a big borracha.
Anyways, follow me at Deeper Music because there's a lot of shows in May and you could support your local bands.
All right, there you go. If you want to check out Deeper's other podcast, the 110 Podcast, head on over to 110pod.com or you could just go to talkingishard.com where you'll find links to all the podcasts that we are currently working on or have worked on at one time or another in our long lives. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you come back next month when we do plan to have a guest.
Yes.
So it should be a slightly more entertaining episode. Share with your friends if you want. Share with everybody. If you don't like the podcast, share it with somebody you don't like. You know what I mean? Make their life miserable. Alrighty. We will see you next month.
Play it in the car with them. Just be like...
Be like, my radio's broken. This is the only thing that'll play. take care, everybody.
Bye.